the degree, but you don't know the machine. You don't know the process. I will give this to Steve. He became a very valuable asset to the company, but man, he didn't know what he was talking about. Experience. We had experience. We remembered where we had been. We remembered what it took. Where Steve didn't have any of that. He had the book smart, but he didn't have the experience. Today, Paul is speaking to the Galatian church, and he's reminding them, he's telling them to think of your experience to remember. And I think that God truly intends for us to live a grand, grand life as Christians. Not simply an eternal life, but to live a grand life in the here and the now. And if that's going to happen, we've got to be in the Word. We've got to be on our knees. And we got to remember things. So let's just look at the remembering things this morning. I've entitled today's message, The Shelf. Again, we're looking at verses 1 through 5, the third chapter of Galatians. Stand with me if you would, out of honor to God's Word. And we're going to begin this morning by reading verse 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, notice the exclamation point. Who has bewitched you before your very eyes? Jesus was clearly portrayed as crucified. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we come before you today, Lord, simply to do your business, to be in your presence, to hear a word from you. So, Lord, I pray you would bind the enemy. Lord, that you would remove any distractions. God, that you would simply open our ears, our minds, our soul, and our attention to you. And Lord, as we are individual and you know us individually, I pray that you speak the individual word that you know our hearts need to hear. Lord, for your glory and your honor, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. So we're looking at the shelf. So many believers there in Galatia, they were being bewitched, so to speak. Not in the terms of sorcery, but they were being charmed by the Judaizers. The Judaizers were basically telling them that, hey, you've got to keep the law. You've got to keep up with legalism. You've got to continue in the works regardless of the grace that they had received. And unfortunately, they were hearing what the Judaizers were saying, and they were buying into this. And so Paul is appalled, so to speak. I mean, he calls them foolish. What are you thinking? And so he's trying to get them to think back, to remember where it was that they had come from. They were foolish, not in a sense of mental, of intellectual. They were foolish in a sense of mental laziness. They were not remembering again where they had come from. They were falling prey to the Judaistic legalism, not applying the basic gospel truths that had led them to salvation. You see, my friends, the believers were neglecting their divine resources, and that leads to sinful behavior. They were not clinging to what they knew, so they were being charmed by these others. I ask you this morning, are you using the divine resources to the fullest? Again, are you in the Word daily? Again, are you on your knees daily? Obviously, you've gathered here to worship this morning, so we got that right. But we've got to do all of these things if we're going to be the people that God calls us to be. Again, who has bewitched you? Who had charmed them? Not sorcery. They had experienced the powerful, transforming, mind-changing truth of the gospel in Jesus crucified. Paul had shared with them himself. He had painted the picture. The portrait had been set before them by Paul himself. They received what they had been taught. They placed their faith in Jesus Christ, and now they were acting very foolish. Look at verse 2. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? So Paul is basically saying, let's talk about this. Let's talk about your experience. Let's talk about how you got where you are in Christ. Did you do that by observing the law? Did you do that by works? And let me just tell you now, my friends, we cannot do good enough to receive grace, to receive salvation. It cannot be earned. It cannot be bought. It cannot be given by mommy and daddy. It is a decision we have to make for ourselves. And it only comes through the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Paul had painted this picture. And so he's saying, hey, did you get where you are by doing what you're listening to these guys telling you about, what you're falling prey to again? Or did you get there by grace? You need to evaluate how you got there. Did you receive the Spirit of God's grace through the law or through Jesus Christ when you received Him as Lord and Savior? In Romans 8, Paul writes, verse 9, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. In 1 John 4:13, we know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. And they're saying, you've got the Spirit if you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. So how did you get it? By grace or by works? You see, my friends, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit cannot be separated from salvation. It only comes through Jesus Christ. Again, not works. And there's no time that a believer, once given their heart and soul to Jesus Christ, that they are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are, as we talked about this morning, the traveling temple of the Holy Spirit once we receive Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Every true believer there in Galatia had received the Holy Spirit because Paul had portrayed Christ crucified, and Paul is saying to them, remember. Look at verse 3 with me. Are you so foolish? You can tell he's a little bit perturbed, huh? Okay, pastor after my own heart. Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? In other words, he's saying, hey, you got here through the Spirit, through the portrayal of Christ, and now you're trying to improve on what you've learned in your own works? Again, are you so foolish? Look at verse 4. Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing. You know, these believers, they truly suffered. They were alienated. They were ridiculed. They were quite possibly, they were even physically, they suffered by physical circumstances. But they had gone through all of this because they placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And now Paul's saying, did you suffer all of this for nothing? Did you really suffer? Did you put up with this? And now you're just going to go back to this? And then he throws that, if it is for nothing. Paul didn't believe it was for nothing. Paul knew it was for salvation in Jesus Christ. Paul knew the suffering was for Jesus Christ and being able to come and be saved by Him and His indwelling through the Spirit in them. He knew this was major, and that's the whole reason that he is coming against the Galatians here. Because he wants them to remember. He wants them to live the life of which Christ died for them to live. To live the life which they had accepted by faith. And faith alone. And so he asked them, was it worth it? Have you suffered for nothing? Look at verse 5. You're thinking, man, we're going to get out of here real early. No, you're not. Verse 5. Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Again, he's reiterating his argument here, so to speak. He said, you've received eternal salvation. You've received the Holy Spirit the moment you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Here's the argument. Which way? Did you receive it? By works? Did you receive it by the legalism which you're falling prey to now? Did you earn it? Again, you're not good enough. Who can do anything good enough to earn forgiveness and redemption? Or because you believed what you heard. Did you receive this because you saw the picture I painted? You saw what Christ has done in my life. You've seen what Christ has done in each other's life. Is that how you received the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ? Christ crucified. You see, he's telling the Galatians, you got to remember. You got to think back. You got to remember the experiences that you have. And I think so often as Christians, we don't remember our experiences. We don't remember what Jesus has done for us. Let me just ask you this morning, have you had a salvation experience? Did you walk an aisle one day? And don't get me wrong, we got to walk the aisle. Well, we don't necessarily have to walk the aisle, but we do have to profess before men so that he'll profess us before the Father. But was there a time in your life, did you realize, I am without hope, I am a sinner, I'm not that bad, it's just God is so good. And God wants me in his presence, he wants to fellowship with me, but I can't get there because of me. And only Jesus can take care of that. And you realize you're a sinner. See, you can't be saved until you know you're a sinner. You can't fix something until you know something's wrong. Have you realized there's something wrong? And Jesus took your place. The price had to be paid. And Jesus paid the price. And so you said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know there's no way out apart from you. Will you forgive me of my sins? Be my Savior. Have you done that? Let me tell you, if you have not done that, if you don't know that you know that you know that you drop dead today, you're going to be in the presence of Jesus, do something today. Because you're not promised another second. You're not promised another day. And I believe we're seeing more sickness. We're seeing more death. We're seeing more struggles. We're seeing more heartache than in, at least in the 53 years of my life. Do you know that you know that you know? If you have had a salvation experience, here's a question for you. How does your present excitement compare to your salvation experience excitement? I would venture to guess there's quite a difference. I would venture to guess that you've been overcome by life, that you have got struggles, that you have got work, that you have got children, that you have got school, that you have got strife, that you have got stress, worry, all of these things. And you know, I'm just not as excited as I was when I received Jesus. It's time to remember. But you're probably thinking, yeah, but I've never questioned grace. Great, great. But we're not living what Jesus came for us to live. Have you lost sight of your experience? The hustle and the bustle of life, we kind of push God to the side, don't we? We kind of put him on the shelf, don't we? And then we hear cancer and, whoa, got to get him off. Or we hear somebody die, oh, got to get him off. Or we have a struggle, we can't pay our bills, oh, got to get him off. Where's the excitement? We've put him on the shelf. We're more concerned with life than we are with Jesus. We're not concerned what really matters. So what really matters? My friends, this is what really matters. I've been redeemed by the grace of God. I've been redeemed by the grace of God. Regardless of what comes my way, by golly, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He's taking up residence in me, and I can get through it or I can go home. Hallelujah, praise God. I've been redeemed by the grace of God. Number two, I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. You know, this is a twinkling of an eye. This is a mist, a vapor. And then we'll be with Jesus all together. Number three, I need to tell as many people as possible and hope they will come with me. See, my friends, that's what's important. We live life. We have to live life. But man, we need to keep Jesus where Jesus belongs. And we need to fight against the enemy. We need to be in the Word and on our knees and remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us. You know, John writes in Revelation 2, 4 and 5, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place." Do the things you did at first. Regain that excitement. Pull Jesus off the shelf. Pull that experience off the shelf. I remember May the 4th, 1975. I walked the aisle. That night was the only night my parents ever took me to church at night. And that was because I was getting baptized. Boy, the next morning I went to my teacher. I said, "Yesterday morning I received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And last night I was baptized." And you know what? I turned 17 years old not too many years after that. Woo, the excitement was put on the shelf. And I was gone down the wrong path. Can I tell you, God restores. Praise God. He restores. Man, we got to get that excitement back. We put Him up on that shelf. And you know what? When we lose, when we don't remember our experience with Jesus, it flows down. It flows into every area of our life. Let me explain. Let me just ask you this. What about relationships in general? Hey, married folk, how's that romance? Oh, we're just trying to get through the day. Really? That's not what God intended it to be. Hey, mom and dad, kids aren't little and cute anymore. Hear what I'm saying? There's a lot more struggles. You know, it's funny, my daughter and her husband, our grandchildren are 4 and 6. Caddy turned 5. No, Caddy's 4. They're young. And, you know, my kids will say, "Well, you know, we have to pick our battles." I'm thinking, "You wait, baby. You wait. You better not be picking battles now. You better wear the pants right now. Because if you don't get the standard set, you're right. You're going to be picking battles. And you're going to be losing a lot of them if you let them win now." Hey, teenager, you're not off the hook. Mom and dad aren't my heroes anymore. In fact, they're not real bright. They just don't get it. The fond memories, the good old days have all been put on the shelf. Pull them off. Pull them off the shelf. What about special occasions? Marriage, do we ever remember that glorious day? The birth of a child or a grandchild, birthday parties, family get-togethers, gatherings with friends. Life just pushed all these wonderful experiences to the shelf. Because we're just trying to get through this week. We're just trying to get through this day. What about the simple things done with those you love? I remember riding bicycles with the kids and with Susan. Let me tell you, she would Pee Wee Herman dead out on that bicycle. Playing in the backyard. We had 5 dogs at the time. We let the 2 inside dogs out with the 3 outside dogs. And it was a blast. Simple things. I learned from my dad how to manicure a yard on Saturday mornings while my mom was in the house and she was cooking homemade corny dogs. Simple things. All these blessings that reveal God's goodness. And we put them away on the shelf and we trudge through life. You see, the Galatians slipped because they put their experience on the shelf. And so do we. Maybe not the gospel of grace. I sure hope not the gospel of grace. But most everything else. God has blessed us. with so many things in life. I guarantee everyone in this room, yeah, there's been some heartache in your life. There's been some hard times in your life. But you know what? Everyone in this room can find some point of joy somewhere in our lives. Some maybe more than others, and I'm sorry for that. But some of them, we all have some point of joy in our life. Unfortunately, we put them on the shelf and we trudge through life. My friends, we must visit the shelf every day from our experience with Jesus to all the wonderful times God has given us. Man, these are encouraging. These are like, you know, this is what God intends life to be. God intends it to be good. It's not we're here to trudge through, to draw a paycheck and to pay bills, and then one day, woo, hallelujah, I finally made it. I get to go to heaven. That's not why Jesus came. Partly it is. That we get to go to heaven. But he came for so much more. Every new day is a new experience. Why wait? Have you noticed? We go through days. I mean, I noticed this big time. We go through life. And we have some fun with family, friends, whatever the case may be. And then 5 years down the road, not at that time, we just think it's another day. But 5 years down the road, we look back and we say, man, those were the good old days. You know what I'm saying? Why don't we say, man, that was fun. This is the good old days. Tomorrow, wow, this is a good old day. Because that's when Jesus came. For us to enjoy life. Not to trudge through life. Intentional effort must be made to allow old experiences to enhance our lives and to see new experiences each day. The thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life to the full. That you may have abundant life. Not simply eternal life, but abundant life in the here, in the now. Life to the full, my friends, will not be achieved without remembering God's blessings. The shelf. What are you doing with your shelf? I bet you, and I'm not judging in any way because I'm right there with you, but I bet you it's full with lots of good stuff. Lots of good stuff. Primarily, Jesus. Man, we got to get back to our first love, which means we got to get in the Word, which means we got to get on our knees, which means we have to remember. And my friends, if we aren't doing these things, I promise, we're going to trudge through life. We're not going to live the life that Jesus died for us to live. And you know what happens when we don't live the life that Jesus died for us to live? We say, man, Jesus, the value's down here. You hear what I'm saying? We devalue what Jesus has done. When we don't accept His blessings and strive for His blessings and strive to know Him better, we devalue the cross. Wow. You know, life's tough. I heard an old guy say one time, but it ain't the cross. You know? But God has so much more. So much more. And it really concerns me as a pastor. I see it in my church. Big time. Nobody's in the Word. Nobody's on their knees. How in the world can we go forth and evangelize if we don't become disciples? If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Otherwise, you're in bondage. Always pray and never give up. And my friends, we got to remember who saved us and the joy He gives us. It's my prayer today that we'll all take this and do something with it. You know, we can leave out of here and say, well, you know, that guy's not Jimmy Vaughn, but he was okay. You know. Or we can say, Lord, you said something to me this morning. Help me do something with it. I realize in the flesh I'll drop the ball. I'll put what I heard this morning on the shelf. But Lord, help me do something with it. Because I know Jesus left a place we can't even imagine. That we can have a life that we can't even imagine. And I want that.